one of our Premier League voices, one of the men you will hear all season long on Sportsnet, joins us. Peter Drury, one of our favorites, Premier League play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. Peter, thanks so much for joining us on the Jeff Blair Show today. Really appreciate it.
Jeff, good to be with you.
We are, well, the transfer window is open for another couple of hours, I think. There will be a few moves. It appears as if a lot of the major moves have been made now. And I mean, I'll just ask you, I guess, one of the major talking points going into this season that, I mean, it's going to focus on Manchester City. I don't know if they can possibly be better than they were last season. They might be because it looks like they've got Bernardo Silva and Mendy looks tremendous and he's healthy. So leave them aside for a minute, but what the hell's going on at Man U?
Well, that has been the topic for conversation for weeks, and indeed recent days even more intensely. And today, let me tell you, here, it's been so much about Manchester United. Jose Mourinho gave his pre-match press conference at 9:30 our time this morning. So I guess, that would have been before you were ready for it. But it was relatively downbeat again. He was asked whether he was at all confident whether they could bring in players, and he indicated a lack of confidence. And that lack of confidence has been borne out because it's been another frustrating day for Manchester United. It is hard to separate fact from rumour amid all this transfer talk, but it does seem they've tried to buy three or four separate central defenders and failed on each occasion. And so in terms of reinforcement, they are pretty thin going into the new season. And they have a game tomorrow evening against Leicester. They have quite an injury list. They have several other players who, under other circumstances, would continue to be rested because they've only relatively recently got back from the World Cup, but who are probably going to have to play. And it just doesn't look like a Manchester United squad.
Peter, I'm not going to pretend to be the foremost expert on Premiership football, but what I know is teams that do well in the offseason in terms of free agency signings tend to move up the ladder when it comes to preseason projections. And when you look at what Liverpool was able to do this season or offseason, does that give you any kind of confidence that they might be one of the bigger challenges to Man City?
I think, Jeff, they will be. I think they will be. People ask you to make predictions at this time of year, which only makes a fool of you. But I suppose just out of a sort of adrenaline fix and for fun, I have just predicted Liverpool possibly to take Manchester City all the way. Mm. And I'm this is devil's advocate stuff, really. I think anybody who is logical about it sees Manchester City as the strongest team again. But Liverpool's new expensive goalkeeper is obviously a very big thing. The momentum that they have is a good thing. The mood they have around their camp is a good thing. And they also always will have on their side, because of their deep, deep history, Liverpool, they'll have nostalgists. And I'm certainly one of them, which counts for nothing. But there is just a feel around Liverpool which is very, very positive at the moment. And, I think they will be the closest thing to Manchester City this year, as in a sense they were last year. I mean, Jose Mourinho is very upset by all this talk, and I kind of get it. Manchester United finished second last year. They finished above Liverpool. And he is pretty fed up with the positive press that Liverpool get by comparison with Manchester United's pretty grey press. But it's just, the mood that comes out of Liverpool that makes you feel they're rather more on the front foot.
Yeah, and, I think if you look at the impact that, I mean, as good as Manchester City was last year, the impact that adding Ederson had just in terms of sort of bringing it all together, I almost see the same thing with Alisson as being, they had to do something after what happened in the Champions League, regardless of what the circumstances were. I don't think you could necessarily come back with the same keeper. Alisson, to me, kind of brings it all together for you.
I think you're right. And Alisson, let's not forget, keeps Ederson out of the Brazil national team.
Right.
So, in theory at least, he's slightly better. And Ederson was absolutely magnificent for Manchester City last season. So that is a huge addition. The whole Liverpool goalkeeping conversation has been going on for years. I mean, long before poor Loris Karius had that dreadful Champions League final, there's been a suspicion that Liverpool are a top-class goalkeeper away from being the top-class team they need to be. Like everyone, I think with a heart, I feel really sad for Loris Karius, who is nothing more nor less than a very good young professional who had a dreadful day at the office. And don't we all know that we're all capable of having a very bad day at work, whatever the reasons were. But I also think you're right. It would just be too much for him to run out in front of the cop, or even more in front of opposition supporters, without a nasty nag at the back of his head. And you can't perform at the top level if you're not absolutely sure you can. And I just hope the guy gets a chance somewhere to become the very good goalkeeper he certainly has the potential to be.
Peter, why do you think it is that if you look at the Premiership, and again, the transfer window is still open, but you know, you look at Tottenham, that's basically the same team returning. Manchester United, basically the same team returning, much to their chagrin in a lot of cases. Man City, basically the same team, and Liverpool's made some changes. But why do you know, it seems as if all the action this year, I mean, you know, it seems like Italy's sort of taken over the league that is in play for the sort of transcendent stars in the game. What explains this relatively quiet off season in the Premiership?
Well, it's interesting. People understandably make that sort of judgment on transfer deadline day. Quite a lot of transfer business was done early in the summer, which is less eye-catching because we're all talking about the start of the World Cup and so on. And so the clubs who aren't doing business today, several of them, Spurs especially, Tottenham, would say, we're just being calm. We're just being calm. We're not being conned into spending inflated prices for players because we're desperate. We have a faith in our squad. Our squad was very good last year. The most important piece of business we did was tying Harry Kane to a long-term contract.
Right.
We think he's the best striker. Why would we pay another £70 million for a player who we don't think is as good as him? That I think is the retort. I also think there is something specific about a World Cup year, because down the years, several clubs, and I can't think of specific individual cases, I wish I could, but several clubs have been burned by buying players off the back of a stellar World Cup.
Right.
And I think there's a certain caution about this now, because there have been examples of players who played specifically for African nations, maybe, and have come to the world's attention, oh, we'll have him. And when it's come to the week-by-week grind of league football, those players haven't quite produced in the way that they did under very specific circumstances for their nation. So I think people are cautious around World Cup year. And I also, as I say, I think in the modern age, some of the bigger clubs are cannier and, frankly, more logical and businesslike about the way they do things, and aren't prepared to join in this great jamboree in the last 2 hours before the end of the transfer window.
And aside from the transfer window, we did see some movement with Chelsea and Arsenal both changing their coaches. Do you see one of the teams as making a significant impact with a new manager, I guess?
Well, Arsenal is the really, really interesting one because, you know, unless you're 30, really, you are not going to have many accurate memories of what Arsenal Football Club was like without Arsene Wenger in charge. I mean, he was there 22 years, so I'm talking about an eight-year-old child watching Arsenal for the first time when Arsene Wenger began. You know, so there are going to be an awful lot of Arsenal supporters for whom this is all brand new. It's, you know, this is generational. And Unai Emery comes with a very, very good reputation. He looks a really urbane, switched-on sort of a guy. I have some friends who work around Arsenal and say he's very, very pleasant to deal with. And all the indications are that he is just the sort of man suited to Arsenal. But my goodness me, I mean, we found out very quickly how hard it was at Manchester United to succeed Sir Alex Ferguson. Now someone's got to do a similar sort of job, not quite the same, because Wenger didn't go out in the same blaze of glory as Ferguson did. But being his successor, nevertheless, is a vast, vast task. And it's going to be fascinating to see how that goes. Chelsea, of course, a slightly different kettle of fish because we're very well used to a turnover of managers there. Turnover of goalkeeper, very interesting. You know, to lose Thibaut Courtois to Real Madrid today and to replace him with Kepa, who becomes the world's most expensive goalkeeper, we'll see how quickly he settles in. Even David De Gea, when he came from Spain to Manchester United some years ago, even he took a year or so to settle into the Premier League. So Chelsea need their new Spanish goalkeeper to hit the ground running.
We just got a couple of seconds here, Peter. Very quick question. You will have the call of Saturday's match between Wolves and Everton. A lot of people like Wolves, you know, a well-financed group, well-organized group, back up in the Premiership. Are they of that sort of, let's say, what we would call right now the bottom six teams? Are they the team you have your eye on as maybe being the team that solidifies a spot next season's Premiership ahead of everybody else?
Yes, I certainly that is the dialogue around Wolves. The expectation, if you listen to pundits here in England, is that Wolves will not be a struggler. You know, it's normal for the newly promoted teams to find life hard, although, funny enough, last year, all three avoided relegation. But the feeling is that Wolves are slightly above that category. It's fantastic to have them back in the Premier League, and if people are tuning in to watch that on television on Saturday, I promise you, you're going to get a great, great atmosphere. They've been out of the top league for 6 years. It's one of England's famous, famous old clubs. And when they run out in the Premier League for the first time on Saturday evening against another famous club in Everton, who are brilliantly well and loudly supported, I think it's going to be a very special occasion indeed. And they are a great curiosity, Wolves, as you say, because they come up well-financed. They have bought a lot of new players. And I think they might frighten a few. They'll take some points off some big boys.